for listening. Thank you for downloading. You're with us here at the Clock and Talk bonus podcast. Tony's taken out a little bit of time to talk about the Suarez contracts and what went on there. And you'll hear a little jingle in about 10 minutes' time and the second podcast where Tony talks about agents and fees and whatnot. So enjoy, and over to you, Tony. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. For those of you that listen to the podcast or contribute to the podcast by asking us questions, first of all, I want to thank you. But the ones that have listened to the most recent one will hear us. We got a question in saying, have things changed at Arsenal? Because we look like we're going to get Mkhitaryan over the line. By the time this goes out, I'm assuming it will be done. And we look like we're quite close to Aubameyang. And in previous years where we've had negotiations that have failed with Benzema, Higuain, or we've always been linked to targets and they've never been done. Is it showing a change in who's doing the negotiation? Is it showing that there's been power taken out of Arsene Wenger's hands? And one example that the person used was Luis Suarez, that we was heavily linked with him and we didn't get the deal over the line. I said on the podcast that it was a matter for another day because I didn't have long enough to speak about what actually went on with Luis Suarez, and I said I would do one of these audio pieces just to let everyone know exactly what happened with Luis Suarez and how pretty much everyone at the club is blameless. That you all know that I am obviously an Arsenal fan and I'm quite a positive one, but I will be critical when the time comes. But within this Luis Suarez instance, I mean, I don't think there's anyone to blame. I'll tell the story, and then obviously when you're reading this, you can comment and let me know if you think that it's anyone at Arsenal's fault. So obviously we're always criticised, especially within the press, for a £40 million and £1 bid. Luis Suarez had a £40 million release clause, which is why we offered the pound more. To activate his release clause, you have to offer over the release clause. So we offered £1 over. I mean, I put it to you that if you knew something had a certain price, people are saying, oh, why didn't we offer 41 million? Because 40 million and £1 takes the piss. Would you offer essentially an extra £1 million when you know that the price, it's like going into the shop and them saying, oh, this can of Coke is 50p. And you go, oh, that's taking the piss a bit. I'll give you £1.50. You just wouldn't do it. I know that's not the best comparison, but essentially we knew the price and we offered the price. What is a bit dodgy is how we knew that price, because a release clause is in a contract between the player and the club, so between Luis Suarez and Liverpool in this instance. So how we knew about it could potentially be seen as tapping up. In reality, it was his agent that told Arsenal that this was his release clause. So Arsenal have offered it. Liverpool are duty bound by Luis Suarez's contract to accept it. Legally, they have to accept that bid. They didn't. They rejected it, they ignored it, and they didn't give Arsenal permission to speak to Luis Suarez. The problem comes with, as the contract, the release clause is in the contract between Luis Suarez and Liverpool Football Club. So by rejecting or not letting us talk to him, they've not breached any agreement with us, because we have no agreement with him. They have breached an agreement with Luis Suarez. He could have, and there was rumours at the time, and he was heavily looking into, taking them to court for breach of contract. It would have been very messy, because there's an argument for how much compensation, but it wouldn't have been a small case. It wouldn't have been a case if he goes to that court and the court says, okay, you have to let him go because your contract says you should. Let him go and speak to Arsenal. It would have been a very long case due to compensation and fees owed to him because they've breached his contract and potential future earnings, yada, yada, yada. So it was estimated at the time that it would probably take between 3 and 5 months to get that done. Obviously, a transfer window is not that long, so Liverpool could continue turning a blind eye to this situation and just ignore it, because by the time it came round, the transfer window would be closed and whatnot. What Liverpool did do is they said to him, he was on actually quite low wages. I was quite shocked when I found this out, that he was only on, initially at Liverpool, he was only on around 30 grand a week when they signed him. So despite paying 20 odd million for him from Ajax, he was on a very low contract because he was untested and unproven in anywhere outside Holland, really. So what Liverpool done is, rather than get taken to court and whatnot, is they said to him, look, we'll treble your wages, over treble. I think he went on to over 100 grand a week. And we'll put a release clause in for this summer that's slightly higher. But I think by then Barcelona had potentially been sniffing around. And they said, look, basically you can go to Barcelona in the summer and you're going to make a lot more money while doing it. And rather than wait sort of 3 to 5 months of sulking, missing out on all that money, he signed the extension. Obviously, the going up from, even if it was 30 to over 100 grand a week, during them 3 to 5 months, he's earning 70 grand a week more, which is enough to make most people happy. So that's essentially what happened. But Arsenal didn't do much wrong in that process of, as I said, they offered the thing, and people are saying, oh, it's Arsenal being tight again, not paying the asking price. They did that. In my mind, they've done everything they could have done. Offering 45 million, offering 50 million, it wouldn't have made a blind bit of difference. Liverpool weren't going to accept a bid from Arsenal. They even tried, and I don't know if any of you remember this at the time, because the clause was a 40 million release clause for anyone in the Champions League. Because Liverpool were obviously hoping to make Champions League that year, and they didn't. So we had a qualifying round that year, if memory serves me right. And when Liverpool first rejected it, they tried saying, oh, you're not in the Champions League. So you can't activate this release clause. Obviously, we could have. We was in the Champions League qualifying round, and as we all know, we did go on to qualify. But Liverpool were basically trying every technicality to try and stop us from activating that release clause. And even when they did, they just essentially denied it. And it would have been up to Suarez to take him to court, but they offered him a shiny new 70 grand, at least 70 grand a week more, and the opportunity to get out of there in the summer regardless, even if they were in the Champions League, which is, I think, what swung it as well. They basically said, give us this year and you can go next summer. We don't even need to be in the Champions League. And obviously he got his Barcelona move at the end of it, so it probably worked out quite well for him and not so well for Arsenal. But that's exactly what happened, and it's one of them stories that it quite annoys me when people look, there's loads of transfer dealings I could criticise Arsenal over. Untold amounts and stupid things. And even contracts I could criticise over, like not offering Ashley Cole the extra 5 grand a week was ludicrous. But this one is the one that seems to get brought up the most, and for me it's one that I really don't think there's much blame on Arsenal's shoulders. But let me know what you think. Leave a comment. Obviously, if you're reading this on Twitter, leave a comment. If you've got any questions around it, ask me. Again, I've said this on previous ones. If you've got something to say, say it. Don't just comment bullshit, because that's not helping anyone. If there's a reason you believe I'm not talking the truth, I know I am, but if there's anything that a reason why, leave a constructive comment. I'm not saying be positive. I don't care what people think of me, but be constructive and we can engage in a conversation about it rather than going bullshit, nonsense, blah, 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 because it doesn't help anyone. Anyway, have a good day. I'm not sure what day this is going out, so I can't say have a good weekend, but have a good day, and let's hope the rest of the transfer window and then on the rest of the season goes the way we want. Thank you. Hi all, again, thanks for listening to us. For those of you that follow us on Twitter, which is probably where you're hearing this, will have seen that during the week I said I'd do a piece on what agents actually do. This came after the reports were that it was Mkhitaryan's agent that was holding up the deal for Arsenal, even though both clubs wanted it, being us and Man United. Both players wanted it, being Alexis and Mkhitaryan. And it was apparently the agent holding up the deal. Loads of people are questioning, how can an agent do this? How can an agent have that much power? So I said I would do... It was too... I mean, obviously, you get whatever, how many? 240 characters on Twitter, and there just wasn't enough space to type it. So I said I'd do a voice piece just as someone that's worked as an agent and worked very closely with some high-powered agents and some top... Like, I would openly admit I've only worked in the lower leagues, but some colleagues that I worked very closely with and spoke to all the time were involved in multi-million pound deals with internationals, top Premier League players. So just from my point of view, I'd like to put across what an agent does. It's very different what I was doing in the lower leagues compared to what they do sort of at the higher end of the chain. So essentially, the role of an agent is to do all of the player's dirty work for him. So a player literally can just focus on football, which I think most of you would argue isn't a bad thing if the player hasn't got to worry about all these external factors and just only has to worry about playing. In theory, it's only going to be a benefit to their career and the club. So any negotiations with the club about absolutely anything tend to be the agents doing. So a player will very rarely go and talk about a contract. All they do is sign it. They'll give their agent an indication of what they want. The agent will go and do all the negotiations and whatnot. And then he'll present to the player what he's been offered or what he thinks is, when he's got an offer he thinks is acceptable. He'll say, look, I've got this. I think this is what you should sign. And the player will say yes or no, maybe come back with a few tweaks. But at the end of the day, the player only signs his contract. He tends to not do much more else around it. The issue comes into it with how agents are paid. So it used to be, back in the day, I don't know how many years I'm going back, maybe 10, 15 years, that they took a percentage of the player's earnings across all channels. So if a player signed with, just to make it easy, 100 grand a week and a £1 million signing on fee, an agent, when he signed the player, would say, I will work for you on, just to put an example out there, 10%, just to make the numbers easy. So every single penny that player earned, the agent would be liable to take 10%. So if the player signed on 100 grand a week, the player would earn, the agent, sorry, would earn 10 grand a week out of that player's wages. So the player himself would pay the agent. And the same for £1 million signing on fee, he would take 100 grand. So, for example, Arsenal would pay the player the £1 million, and then he would transfer £100,000 to his agent. That's how they all used to be paid. What then happened, and I don't actually know where it came from, if I'm honest, is clubs basically started paying agents' fees to stop players losing part of their weekly wages. I don't know if clubs saw it as like a bargaining tool, like, oh, we're offering you the same money as them, as a rival club that are trying to get your signature, but we will pay your agents' fees for you, so you're actually netting an extra 10%, as a, just to use example numbers. As I said, I don't know who started that, where it came from, but it suited agents down to the ground because now they could sign clients and say, look, I'll take none of your wages. The club will pay me. And now that's sort of how things are done in football, that it's very rare that the players pay the agents. They get all their dealings done via the clubs. And this is how agents' fees have got extortionate, because they would never try and sign a player. Let's go with Paul Pogba, because the agents... Oh, no, better still. We'll go with Alexis Sanchez. His agent fees, apparently, for this Man United deal are going to be around £20 million. Had he been taken off directly from Alexis Sanchez, there's no way Alexis would have signed with someone who said, I'm going to take £20 million of your future earnings. He wouldn't do it. He'd sign with another agent. Where now they're dealing with clubs, who are obviously a lot richer than players, they can pretty much demand what they want. And United are known as being very high payers of agents. It's why they were still competitive in the transfer market when they first dropped out of the top four. So after Moyes tore them apart, they weren't in the Champions League. That summer, they signed Falcao, who, look, we may not see as brilliant now, but at that time was very sought after. They signed Angel Di Maria from Real Madrid in a British record transfer fee at that time. Again, he's come from Real Madrid to go to Man United that are in Europa League. Again, because the agents want the players to go to Man United, because the amount of the agents pay, Man United pay the agents, sorry. So on to the difficulties with Raiola, Mkhitaryan's agent, and Arsenal in this proposed transfer, where it was deemed as a swap. So Arsenal typically pay 7% of the transfer fee to the agent. So, again, to make it easy, if we signed a player for 100 million, we'd pay 7 million. The difficulty with this is there's two things. Mino Raiola is known as a super agent. He's got a client list as long as your arm, all top players who's made him crazy amounts of money. He wasn't happy with Mkhitaryan being the B side of the deal, so to speak, so that Alexis's agent would be making a lot more from the deal than he would, because Man United are better payers and it was seen as Alexis was the prize attraction. Raiola wasn't happy with that. And also, he wasn't happy that because the deal was going down as a swap, there's no fee. So 7% of zero is zero. And the reason he was holding the deal up is because he, look, people may agree or disagree with agents. I don't like Mino Raiola, but he has a job to do. He's negotiated this whole contract on Mkhitaryan's behalf. He's pretty much helped manage the business side of Mkhitaryan's career for, I don't know how long, but at least the length of time he's been at Man United, so for the last 18 months. And then when he gets a move, if in theory he gets nothing for it because of the swap, he's not happy with that. So the hold-up was he wanted a fee, probably beyond the 7% off. Well, there wasn't a number to give 7% off. So he wanted a fee, and he's asked for it, and I assume because the transfer is now pretty much complete that Arsenal have caved in and paid him an amount. I'm not sure how much, but I just sort of, I just wanted to clear up to people that how an agent could disrupt a deal like that. It probably wasn't in Mkhitaryan's best interest for that exact moment, because if Mkhitaryan wanted to go and he's saying no, you can't because I've not been paid a fee, at that moment in time, it's not in Mkhitaryan's best interest for him to do that. But what he's done for Mkhitaryan over the last 18 or so months, or however long, 3, 4, 5 years, is in Mkhitaryan's best interest. So that's how an agent can hold up a deal. Also, it's a brief insight into what an agent actually does and what they get paid for. Any questions? Fire away.
Me at clockend_talk if you've got any questions relating to this podcast. And the boys will be back after the Chelsea game. And thank you once again. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and up the Arsenal. See ya.